All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be back with you. Your brethren from Mexico send their greetings. And had a real good visit and time with them there. So just keep them in your prayers. I also talked to Brother Marcus this morning. He's been visiting in Colombia. Keep them in Karen and Ishmael in your prayers. They're really struggling being alone without fellowship, and it just takes a lot of, it's all right to think of that for a little while, but after years and raising your children, it's a real struggle to know what to do. And so just pray that God will give them wisdom as they remain faithful. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask your blessing on this time together, Father, that you'd help us be faithful to you, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word, Lord, that you'd help us to hear your word and yield ourselves to you, Father. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. Fill us with your spirit and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days. That's a real blessing. The songs this morning and the thoughts that were said. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 9. I just want to, verse 9. This is the Lord's Prayer. I want to talk on a couple of different things here, but I want to just start right here with the Lord's Prayer. It says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What I want to, it's just neat to break this prayer down. I mean, in this little two or three paragraphs, Jesus encompassed everything we need. And in prayer, and how we obtain that, and how our communion with God is there. First of all, your kingdom come, recognizing that this world is not God's kingdom. I just look at the landscape of the world, and there's hope that or the world is hoping, or the people that are awake in the world at least are hoping that there's some new president going to change. They're wanting a president that gets back to what their constitution is about, and there's just a lot of anxiety, and I've thought about that, and it's pretty easy to kind of hope with them, that things go that way, as far as a worldly thought is, but whenever we look at what's going on in the world, thy kingdom come. Sometimes we forget that this world is not our kingdom. And we're hoping for a better one. You know, and as we just analyze, or I just think about these things about the kingdom, you know, this country's not going to be saved by one president. It might be prolonged for a little while, but it's the people that make the country. And if the country and the people in the country turn their back on God, it doesn't matter who's president. They're not going to have God's blessing on them. And they are under God's curse because of just turning their back on Him. I mean, we see the things that are happening today, and a lot of the confusion that's going on in the world is not going to bring God's judgment. The Bible tells us that is God's judgment to a people who turn their back on Him. He closes their eyes and they don't see. They're groping around in the darkness. And we all want good things, but if the people, in fact, if the church isn't what it's supposed to be, the world will go, you know, we talked about Abraham, you know, and how he wanted God to preserve Sodom. We know about Sodom. But he asked him, and it got down to Abraham said, if 10 righteous people are there, will you destroy it? And he said, no. And yet there wasn't 10 righteous people there. If there's not the godliness, we've got Christianity all over the world. But where is the preserving influence that it has? Where is the light? We've got people that are really strict and really religious, but it's just full of darkness. Light exposes and lifts people up. And religion doesn't do that anymore. You know, there used to be a time whenever they even taught good things, you know, and how to live and be a good person. But so many years of the grace doctrines telling it doesn't matter, that you're just saved because you're saved. That's what has brought a lot of this darkness into the world. It doesn't matter that whether you're a good person or not. You're just saved because God's just going to save you. But the kingdom of God is made for people who belong there. You know, what's going to change us after we die? We are going to die who we are. And that's who we will be in eternity. If we're a dirty, rotten scoundrel here, just because God offers grace and forgiveness, we're going to still be a dirty, rotten scoundrel in heaven or in His kingdom. That's why He talks about the kingdom is now. The kingdom is right here. And if we don't know how to love our brother, we don't know how to love God with our whole heart, and we don't know how to fit in with the kingdom of God here, we'll never fit into it in another life. And all of our hopes and dreams, the Bible says many, Jesus said many people on that day will say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. That tells me that there's a lot of people that think that they're right with God that aren't going to be whenever it comes to that day. We don't have to determine who all that's going to be, but we do have to be in the kingdom ourselves. And we do that. That's thy will be done, is the verse that I'm looking for here. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. And I wanted to talk about our wills this morning and how important the will is. You know, we see in the garden where Adam sinned against God. What is sin? You know, some people, well, that's transgressing God's laws. That's not what sin is. Sin is when we choose our will above God's. When we see Satan, whenever he fell from God, he thought, God doesn't know. He knows stuff he's not telling us. I don't know what his reasoning was, but he decided that he was going to rise up in rebellion against God's will. And that's when Satan fell. And that's where man falls. Whenever we choose to do our will above God's will. You know, I was asked a question in the last week, where is God's will about bad things happening? You know, we look around and we see bad things happen to people. And, that can't be the will of God when bad things happen. Bad things happen because God has given you and me a will. And when we choose to do things opposite of God's will, we're sinning against God. But God has given human beings, the power to have a will. And with that power, we have the ability to either choose good or evil. And that is God's will, that we have that power. What we do with that power is not always God's will. But we have the power to do it. I'll give you an example. Murder. Someone just rises up and kills somebody. We see it in the Bible. They will in their heart. The word in German for want to is will. Want is will. Sometimes we think, whenever we say, I don't want to do something, what we're really saying is, I don't will to do something, or I will not do something. Want kind of somehow softens that a little bit. But it's our will that's making the decision. And whenever it's against something that's right, I don't want to do this. It's, I will not do this. And if it's something that we're supposed to be doing that's right, we are saying, I am sinning against who I'm supposed to be listening to. And so it makes it a lot more ugly, doesn't it? So it's not necessarily even the action. It is the determination of the will that I am not going to do what I know I should be doing. And that is sin. Like I said, it's not just, sometimes religion puts emphasis on the action of things, but it's not necessarily the action. The action has results, but it's based on that will that says, I'm going to do something wrong. I'm going to. Back to murder. It's not God's will that anybody be murdered by another human. I mean, as far as the government's concerned, that's up to God. I don't know. That's a choice. I'll leave that there. But as far as an individual that wants to commit murder, it is a man choosing when to end another man's life. What makes it a real sin is that God would have that other man go ahead and live some more. That would be his will. He will choose when people die. But whenever a man takes it on himself to take another man's life or another person's life, he is going against that other person's will and removing his life from him. Removing the rest of his life from him. And while it is not God's will for that man, God's will would be that he goes on and lives for a while. But this other person that would take their life is saying, I'm going to take it. I'm going to steal his life from him. You see how egregious it is? Not just that, you know, it's not God's will that that happens, but it's God's will that you and I make our own choices. And sin is when man begins to make choices against somebody else. The will is involved. And whenever we take another's life, and it doesn't matter whether that life, a baby in a mother, whenever a mother decides to take that baby's life, it is God's will that that baby lives. And for some other human being to decide that baby is not going to live, is taking it upon themselves to put themselves and to use the will that God has given for absolute evil. You see, because when we give our will, where it's not just an abstract thing, we come under the power of Satan. That's the danger here, and that's the importance of this. It's not just I'm sinning against God. It's I'm giving myself to full alignment with Satan's will instead of God's. That's why we're under his bondage. That's why we're under his power. That's why Jesus had to come into this world to pay the price he did so that he could defeat Satan and his power over you and over me. And the key to our being reunited into God's will is being set free from Satan's will. And where does that lie? Where does the power lie? In our own will. This phrase, thy will be done. You know, I've told about myself, you know, that I tried to be religious, I tried to be good, I tried to be saved, but there was something just wrong. And what it was there was things that God wanted from me that I didn't want to give up, that I didn't want to quit. I wanted to be saved, and didn't want to do bad things, but there was just things I wanted to be in control. I still wanted to control my will. But I remember the time whenever I got to the place where I just said, Lord, I'm going to give up. And I just said, thy will be done in my life. You know, we looked and talked about Jesus the night before he was crucified, praying, in agony, praying. And he said, Lord, I don't like what's going to happen to me. I don't want what's going to happen to me. What I'm going to have to go through. But he always ended it with, but nevertheless. He was honest. He was just saying, this is hard. And I don't really like what I'm facing. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's going to be difficult. And I would rather not do this. But nevertheless, thy will be done. And he surrendered his will till the next morning when they nailed him on the cross. He didn't utter a word of complaint about what he was going through because his will had been surrendered into God's will. You know, the things that happen in our lives that, you know, there's a story in the Bible about a man that was riding a donkey. And God told him not to go to a place. And so this man was riding this donkey, and his donkey just stopped. You know, it's about like a car breaking down. It's about like some other problem coming. But anyway, we can't do what we want to do. Well, what did this man do? He got mad. And got the donkey going again, and he went a little bit further, and he stopped again. And he got mad, and I could just imagine, you know, somebody getting upset. Probably some words were said that he wouldn't normally say. He's mad. Then finally the donkey won't go, and he's beating on the donkey and trying to make him go, and he smashes his foot against the wall. And then he gets up from there and he just says, "If I had a sword, I'd kill you, donkey." And then the donkey spoke to him and he said, "I've always done everything I was supposed to." But there was an angel blocking the donkey's path, and the donkey could see that, and he stopped him and he wouldn't go. He was trying to save the man's life and soul. And the donkey, he began talking with the donkey. The point is, when things go wrong, it's not always just because we're having a bad day or bad luck. Sometimes God just has to slow things down just a little bit for us to keep something or to allow something to happen. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. It is God's will that you and I and all the world are a part of His kingdom. The choice is whether I'm going to be a part of that or not. This whole verse is surrounded. These verses is warnings that Jesus, in verse 6, about the Pharisees and the scribes. Talking about how they're doing things for religious reasons, to be seen of men, or just to put on a show. You know, so here we have people that look right. They look good on the outside. And here Jesus puts this prayer, "But thy will be done." You know, they probably even say things like this because it's the right thing to say. And then at the end of the prayer, he says, "And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven others." And after the prayer, he says, "For if you forgive not others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you." You know, I've heard people say that there's churches recite this verse every day, and that speaking of their own churches, they come and they recite this every Sunday, and then they go out, and a man told me once, he said, "This is going to damn more of these people, because they say that prayer and then go out and have unforgiveness in their heart. They're not a part of the kingdom, but they're saying the words." These people and us, we can do this too. We can do all the right things and say all the right things, but then there's just something that we're just not going to give God. You know, the Bible tells us that if a man keeps all the commandments, yet there's one thing that he won't give up, he's guilty of all of them. Why is that? Is it because of that one little thing? It's because that one little thing is his will, which is his will that's against God's will. And no matter how much you decorate the outside of it, no matter how much you keep all the laws, Old Testament or New, no matter how you just keep those laws, there's that thing you won't give up. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "Keep the laws." And he told him, "I've kept all of them." And Jesus said, "Well, there's one little thing here that you're lacking." He said, "Sell everything you have and follow me." And he went away sorrowful. It wasn't just because he had possessions. It was because it was that one thing that he would not give up. That one little thing, his will, that he would not surrender to God. And he went away sorrowful. He had kept all of it. I was going to read here in Galatians about the law. And some of the boys had some things about the law last week. And I think we're missing a few things. Some of the things that were said. The law wasn't just done away. You know, there was nothing wrong in the law itself. There's nothing wrong in Christ's teachings or the law of the New Testament in itself. But neither of one of those things can give life. And that's the problem with the laws. You can keep them till you're blue in the face, but there's no life in it. Life only comes when your will is united with God's will. Being at one with God. That's where the surrender comes. You know, whenever we start trying to take over somebody's will, we are meddling in God's business that God allows people to have. It's not God's will that someone murder someone. He doesn't want that. But it is God's will that the person has the choice to do that. That's why the law came, because people who would not regulate themselves, God gave this law for people who were lawless, just to keep society in order. That they would be punished for doing this. So the law in itself is not a bad thing. It just can't give life. Life comes through Christ. And we obtain that through yielding our will to Him. I want to read this here in Galatians chapter 5. Well, I think that's what I want. Wanted to get a place about being a tutor. Well, that's not what I wanted. Okay, here. So I'm sorry. Chapter 3. Yeah. I'm just going to read some verses. Verse 19. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. The law was to maintain the people. You know, whenever in the Old Testament, if someone committed a sin, they were put to death. Why? Because there was no remedy. And they would just be polluting everyone around them. The law was given to keep them from being contaminated and spreading like leaven or yeast. And so God had a remedy, or had to use the law to keep the lawless in order so that the seed could come.
Christ.
Now, a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. But the scripture has shut up everyone under sin, under their rebellion, their willfulness against God, so that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. Belief, faith, is our response to God's claim on our life. It's not a set of doctrines that we believe. It's letting our will be moved by God's call and God's claim on us. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up in the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we no longer are under a tutor. You know, sin is usurping someone else's will. That's what religion does. It forces us into things. We're called to freedom. And that freedom, this law, is given to people who will not be free and will not take the responsibilities of freedom for themselves. But there are times when we yield to our wills to someone else. Parents, we are responsible to guide our children, to tutor them under this, our laws, until they get to the place where they can make their own decisions. They have a little will whenever they're, and sometimes it's pretty strong when they're young, but we're to, like the law, to tutor them up until they can get to the place where they can actually make a real choice. And so we have them under our wings. But there is a sacred responsibility that we have to those children, not to destroy their will to get them there. We're not to kill their will. And I've seen multitudes of religious people that say all the right things and say, you never see them make a mistake, that their will was killed by their parents. And so now they're just going through this motion here. And they look good, but they really have no will themselves. We've got to nurture them to see the right way and to let them decide. Because in reality, each one of us are responsible for our own. Each one of us have a will that God has given. Everyone has someone that they've got to be under at times. We can still be free. We don't have to be rebels. God has placed in the home the head of the home, the father. And it's the responsibility of the mother or the wife to yield herself to the father's responsibility. That doesn't make him a lord or a king, but it just has things in order the way they're supposed to be, that they're at one with each other. That's just the way it is. And so it's not against my will or against God's will for a wife to submit herself, to yield herself to her husband. You know, that's a picture of Christ. Christ did that to the Father. He wouldn't have had to yield it to anybody, but he did. But whenever we go and try to force someone else to or take away something from them. We have the will, we have the power to do that. But it's going against God's will. And it's on us, not on God. Everybody wants to blame God for everything that goes wrong, when it is people using their will in the wrong way. And that, like I said, that happens in religion. It happens under the law. It happens under Christ's laws. We're not called to be under those laws. We're called to be free. And if we have that will that's united with God, we make those choices ourselves, and there's no need for a law. The laws aren't bad. We just haven't a need for them. If we're rebellious and don't want to do the laws for us, you know, we say we don't have rules as such. Well, there are some guidelines and rules for people who won't rule themselves or won't have themselves in that place that they're supposed to be. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's just kind of keeping things in order in a family, in a home. You know, just because we keep the rules doesn't mean a thing. There's no life in it. Life comes when we yield our will to God. Thy will be done. It's the most powerful prayer in the world. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. You see, the kingdom of God is right here. Because you're not going to be different when you die. If you can't love God and love your neighbor, you just won't be in heaven. You'll still have your selfish, rotten self in eternity, separated from God. Having a new body isn't going to change who you are. You're still going to be the same person. You know, we say, well, if I could just do this, if I could do that. Well, if you could just yield yourself to God, you could be happy, you could be good, you can be kind, you can have all the fruit of the Spirit right now. And that's what will make it into the kingdom of God. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come in me, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The only difference is in the kingdom, there won't be people usurping their will above God's. It'll be people that are yielded to God in His will. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock. God bless you all. Depart in peace.